chapter 19. If we could keep the screen down. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then if you turn to Jeremiah, I want to read some scriptures and then we're going to do something a little different. Jeremiah chapter 32. Verse number 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Genesis 18. Are you getting the picture? Verse number 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Consider that she's around 100 years old. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Anything too hard for God? And then Mark 16. And 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Think salvation has something to do with baptism? But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, what are the signs? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You believe any of that? Now we've got a little girl fighting for her life. Just 1 pound. Abigail Grace Beck, the doctors have pronounced the percentages don't look good. All of the problems with the lungs and brain bleeds and all of those things. But is there anything too hard for our God? I know God's sovereign. And I know God can do what he will do, and he has his reasons for not healing and reasons for healing. But we've experienced so many healings, miracles in this church. Some of you are standing here. My wife is one. And you know what happens? There's an attention on the church when these miracles happen. There's a power. So we don't heal anybody. Amen. But we are asked to pray for the sick. And so we're going to do something a little different tonight. Our kids in Power Hour have a handkerchief down there. And our youth have a handkerchief down there. And they're all praying for a little Abigail tonight. And you see, when they are all in one mind and one accord, suddenly, there was a mighty rushing wind that came in, filled all the house. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to bring this handkerchief down here. I remember at camp, Brother Bear reminded me that there was a camp service where there were a number of people who were sick, and they had all of the kids come in and pray for those that were sick. And you know why they did that? Because kids have faith that we don't. They have not had the disappointments. And they believe. You tell them and they believe. We have a staircase in our house, a landing and then another flight of stairs. And when my son was 2 years old, you know, he'd be at the top of the stairs. He'd yell, "Dad." And I'd turn around and he'd just leap, knowing that I was going to catch him. He doesn't do that anymore. But when he was born, he was less than 2 pounds. He's a miracle. So here we have a handkerchief. It says Acts 19 and 12, because it talks about healing in a handkerchief. And so listen to me. I know this is going to take a little while, but I want everyone in here to come and lay hands on this handkerchief. And we're going to believe that God is going to do a miracle. We're just going to believe it. So starting here, would you come? Just lay hands, touch it, and then move on. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We love you, Lord. You're the healer, God. You're the healer, God. Bless as only you can. Oh, have your holy way, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Blessed God, blessed God, blessed God, blessed God. Oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Oh, my God, my God, my God, have your holy way, Lord, have your holy way, Lord. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. Lord, you're the healer, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. My God, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Do the work, God. Do the work, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. God. Amen. You know, something happened just now. The Bible tells us in James 5, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. I believe there's some healings that happen. See, with the empathy that you have, God takes on that same feeling towards you. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We've never done anything like this ever before. Glory to God. I believe that we are serving a God with absolute power over everything. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing impossible for our God. I believe there is no disease that he cannot heal. Hallelujah. There is no loss that he cannot recover. No soul that cannot be saved. No sin that he cannot forgive. No heartache that he cannot comfort. No family that Jesus cannot put back together. There is nothing impossible for our God. We need to walk in here with the expectation that I'm walking into an emergency room and God can take care of my problem right now. We take comfort in the fact that God cannot fail. Hallelujah. The doctors can fail. I love doctors because I'll tell you what, without a doctor, I'm not sure if I'd be here today. Some of you are the same. But nevertheless, who has given them the ability, the knowledge? Amen, amen. Turn to Ephesians 3. and verse 20. I want you, these scriptures, to just soak in to our being, that we walk out of here with such confidence in what God can do. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh within us. What's that power? It's the Holy Ghost power within us. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, we're all a part of the body of Christ, and the body of Christ has touched something this night. Jesus made it clear that all power in heaven and earth was his. Our God can do anything. However, there are limitations to what God can do. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? It sounds like it's so strange. God can do anything, and then at the same time, that he has some limitations. But there are boundaries that God will not cross. And before we get frustrated because God didn't do a certain thing for us, we have to understand that there are some limitations that God has, a boundary that God will not cross. It is important for us to understand there are divine limitations, these self-imposed restrictions of God, so we are not disappointed if things don't go our way. And if we know what those self-imposed restrictions are, we can do something in order to avoid them. Where are the boundaries that God will not cross? What are the things that limit God's power? You need to understand that so you can eliminate them in your own life. First of all, God is limited by his own nature. God cannot fail. He has never been defeated. God has never been out of sort or maneuvered somehow by the enemy. He triumphs over every situation. God rules, folks. And that's why it says in Romans 8 and 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So is God for you? If God is for you, you can claim the promises. You can have what God says. But you know what? God's got to be for us. Listen, the devil is not the opposite of God. He's not in the same league as God. He doesn't have that power. The only power he has is to tempt people, you see. And the second aspect of God's nature is that he cannot make a mistake. God never says, oops. Oh, I wish I could do that again. No, God never does that. He never made any mistakes. Everything that he has created is absolutely perfect, including us. When he is finished with his plan for our life, it'll be perfect if we can trust him and rely on his word. God never makes a mistake. If something has gone wrong in your life, it's not because God didn't arrive on time. Mary, Martha, don't worry. It wasn't because Jesus didn't show up for Lazarus' sickness or that he failed to intervene on your behalf, but he is always an advocate for everything that we have going on in our life. Part of what is going on is the process of giving us more power based on our trusting him. So when God puts us in a situation, he's looking for us to react the way faith reacts. I believe you're going to help us, God. Amen. Also, God is limited by his word. One of these self-imposed limitations is found in Numbers 23 and 19. If you'll put that up on the screen, Numbers 23 and 19. We read it Sunday. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Listen, what we need to do is find a promise in God's word and then believe it. You know? If you've got trouble in a certain area, you need to do a search in the scripture and find out where God says, listen, I'm going to take care of that situation for you, because that increases the level of faith for us to be able to receive what God said we could receive in his word. So God cannot lie. If he said it, it shall be done. Man will exaggerate or overstate or lie, but God is limited to one thing, and that's truth. He wouldn't put it in the scriptures if it could not be realized. God is also no respecter of persons, and he will always be fair. He doesn't look at people and say, well, you know, I think I can do that for you, but I don't think I can do that for you, because of your education level or where you came from or your nationality. He is no respecter of persons. When Abraham talked to God about the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, he pleaded with God. He said, God, if there be, you know, 50 people or 40 or 30 or 20 or 10, you can't destroy the city. And he was always thinking about his family in the city, Lot and his family. And in Genesis 18 and 25, it says, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Isn't it great to be able to counsel God and tell him what's right? You laugh, but that's what we do. God, you know, you know, God, you ought to do this. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all of the earth do right? And the answer is always yes. The judge of all the earth will always do what's right. He'll never make a mistake. He won't do it for somebody else, but he won't do it for you. God is always going to do the right thing for you, by you. If you simply give a cup of water in his name, there is always going to be a reward. Those of you that spend time teaching Bible studies and preparing for Sunday school, and nobody sees that happening, God's saying, I see it. I know what's going on. God keeps great books. Nothing is ever overlooked by God that you do for him. People will not see, but God will. He'll always see it. But one day, there's going to be an audit of the books. And the books will be opened. And it'll record everything that we have done. And God must reward according to what we have done. Turn to Psalms 73, please. Starting in number one. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. I talked about shower power last Wednesday, and how it's good to have personal hygiene, but also spiritual hygiene. And you know, it's more important than you could think. But as for me, my feet almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compassed them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongues walketh through the earth. Therefore, this people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. they increase in riches. Sometimes we wonder, how is it, God, that these people don't have the problems that we're serving you, God, and we have very little sometimes. Hallelujah. Verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency, for all of the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. You see, we are so blessed, we just don't realize it. We just don't realize it. If we are waiting for the world to pat us on the back because we go to church, it's not going to happen, folks. If we think our relatives are going to be glad because we live a holy life, it's not going to happen. They're not going to be pleased because we pay our tithes or dress modestly or don't lie and cheat, don't drink or drug or have affairs. It's just not going to happen. The world's not going to love us because we love God. But when David went to the house of the Lord, he saw the books were audited, and it was better to live according to God's word than to have all of the comforts that come with sometimes wickedness. Now, I'm not saying that we have to be poor or we have to be cast down or out. That's not true. Most of us have more than what we should have because we've been living for God. But we can't compare ourselves to the people in this world. Now, here's the amazing thing. God is limited by his nature and his word, but we also can limit God. Can you imagine? Feeble man can bind the hands of God. Well, how? When we do not believe him and trust in him. When we put our trust in something else other than our God. Take a look at Psalms 118. And verse number 8. This is the very center of the entire Bible, and it isn't there by coincidence. It says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And we are told from early on, somebody's going to help you. This is going to do it. If I get this or I do that, it's going to be better. And God's saying, no, if you don't trust me, it's not going to happen, folks. And then if you'll turn to Proverbs 3, very familiar. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Guess what? And with the first fruits of all thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, it takes some trust, takes some faith to do what God says. But God's not like a man. He can't lie. He only deals in truth. About 10 years ago, my sister called me and told me that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she needed surgery, and then she needed very aggressive chemotherapy. And they took care of the tumor, but the chemotherapy destroyed all of her white blood cells, and she needed a bone marrow transplant. I remember going in to the hospital and having blood drawn, thinking that perhaps I could be a match in order to give her a bone marrow transplant, but I wasn't a match. And And so now we've got a problem. We have to find a match in order to, it has to be a perfect match. The doctors came in and they said, listen, the possibility of this happening, for you to recover from this, less than 10%. And our advice is just, you know what? Live out the days the best you possibly can, you know, because it just isn't going to happen. And she said, no, I'm going to fight this. I believe God can help me with this. And a week later, they found a bone marrow transplant in Germany. And so it was a process. Process almost 3 months. And 10 years ago, now she's baptized in Jesus' name. And every day is a blessing. You see, when you get to that place where you almost lose your life, you recognize the real value of life. It's a miracle. It's God. Most of you know what I'm talking about, you see. If it's just another service, then that's exactly what it's going to be. If you walk in here with the expectation that there are no limits on our God, if you walk in here knowing that my God can do anything, and the fact of the matter is God wants to do something for us, but he is limited to the amount of faith that we have that he can do it. If it's just another sermon, then it's all it's going to be is another sermon. Well, yeah, it was all right. You know, maybe Sunday will be better. But if somehow we can step out of the norm and into the supernatural, God will do what his word says he will do. There is nothing impossible for our God. We can have literally what we can believe for. Literally. More than what we can think or imagine, God can do. The fact of the matter is the greatest miracles in this church are sitting here right now. Because without the power of God, we wouldn't be saved in the first place. We wouldn't maintain our salvation. The Bible says that Jesus came to Nazareth, the little town where he was raised. And Jesus taught in the synagogue, and when he was finished teaching, they were just astonished. They were amazed at what this carpenter's kid would say. It was so far beyond their ability to understand that they stood astonished, but looked at the response that they have. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew 13, and starting in verse 54. And when he was come into his own country, Nazareth, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Can you limit Jesus based on what we don't believe? To make him fit our expectations, because for the last 100 Wednesday nights, it's been kind of the same thing, and we didn't see any great miracles. Could we then put that in the realm of this is the way it always is, and it's not going to change anymore? you see. They were face to face with the supernatural, and they were compelled to somehow put down the carpenter's son because they couldn't believe that it could happen in their midst by someone that they've known all their life. Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews 4. Verse number 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So there has to be a mixing of faith with the word that... You know what? Amen helps you, because when the word goes forth and you say, I believe it, or amen, suddenly there's a level of faith that happens that allows you to be able to take hold of that miracle or that promise that God gives us. Some people get so uncomfortable with service that becomes out of the box. We had a little bit of an out of the box experience here tonight. Let's just reduce it to the things that we feel comfortable with. Can we just do a 10-minute song service? Although I've worked all week, I've worked all day, I'm a little tired. Do we need to have the same length song service that we do on Sunday morning? Just another Wednesday night Bible study. Sunday morning should be more reserved. Well, there is no limits on God, you see. We're the ones who put the limits on God, but we can limit him from doing the supernatural by us doing nothing. Because we get so used to Jesus always being with us. We get used to the routine. You know exactly what's going to happen. As soon as the song service is over, there's going to be a little special, and then we're going to take the offering, and maybe we'll pray for some sick folks, you know, and then we'll go into a little dissertation about the Word of God, and then we'll spend 3.5 minutes at the altar, and then we'll all go home. When God's saying, service isn't over yet. I still had some things I wanted to do here. Hallelujah. Because we get so used to, no longer astonished and amazed at what Jesus is doing. It's sad to say that the people who knew Jesus the best believed him the least. Now, somebody could walk in here who's never been in an apostolic church, but they've heard about what happens in an apostolic church. They heard about the miracles, and they walk in here. They don't have any preconceived ideas, but they know miracles have happened in this church. They're probably a greater candidate for a great miracle than we are, because we're around Jesus all the time. The unbelief in Nazareth was nothing more than their insistence on the ordinary. Jesus walks down the road, and there's blind Bartimaeus. He heard that he's coming. You know the story. You've heard it preached over and over again. They were satisfied to just wave to Jesus. He wasn't. He kept screaming, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me! Shh, come on. We don't do that. This is Wednesday. We're not in a synagogue. You know? You don't understand. You can see, but I can't see. I want to be able to see in the only way. The doctor said no, but I know there's a man. A miracle man walking down this aisle tonight. The writer of the gospel said he did not many great works there because of their unbelief. Only a few sick folks were healed. Now, when Jesus came to Capernaum, He preached the same message. Imagine, he took the same notes, preached the same message, and they went home and got all of the sick folks, they got all of the hurting folks, all of the hungry folks, and they said, come on, we've got a miracle worker. This Jesus can take care of all of your problems. And you know what the Bible says? He healed every one of them. Now, we can have a few sick folk revival, or we can have a heal everyone revival. You see, here's, over the year, it somewhat irritates me when people say, well, if God wants to, he just will. He wants to. Just a matter of, do you want to? You know? Are you desperate enough? Are you get to the place where, you know, I know the Bears and the Becks, they are desperate for a healing for this little girl. But it's not a matter of, well, if God wants to. No, they've been spending all day and all night up there, and three handkerchiefs are going to be put on that incubator, perhaps tonight yet, because we're desperate. Now, it's up to God. But you see, God isn't limited, but we are. We limit God when we won't forgive people. We limit God because of a lack of commitment to him. What if this whole place was filled like it is on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday? How many healings would happen? God's hands are big enough and strong enough to hold everything and anything, but it's not going to do any good unless we put it in his hands. God has no limits if we turn him loose to do the supernatural, and that's what we did tonight. We said, God, we believe it. Every person in here believed it, or they wouldn't have touched this handkerchief. And God is saying, okay, now I know. And the fact of the matter is, it's not the preacher's job. It's every saint's job to believe enough. I want to just turn God loose. Unshackle Jesus with our faith and our commitment. The same Jesus walked into Capernaum that was in Nazareth. The same Jesus that walks in here on Sunday mornings walks in here on Wednesday nights. In fact, it might be easier to see a miracle on a Wednesday night than a Sunday morning, because there's not as many visitors, and there are people who are just professional Pentecostals. But on Wednesday night, there are people who want to hear the word of God, want to be in church services. But there was no limit on God in Capernaum. And our last scripture is found in Luke 1 and 37. Don't have to turn there. It says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Nothing. Amen. I believe him. I believe him. Amen. You know, when the Shunammite's son died of a heat stroke, she just laid him in his room and took off for the man of God. And on the way, there are people who stopped and said, is everything all right? She says, everything's fine. Just get me to the man of God. And everyone knew he was dead, even the man of God. But he went to the house and got involved personally. Hallelujah. If you want to see the miracle, you don't have to run to me or Brother Portman. You've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of you. Amen. You have the same power I have. Step out. Step out. There are co-workers. There are people who are suffering all over. And you can make a difference because you believe. You have faith enough to believe. We have enough confidence in the Word of God that says nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible for our God to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. My Bible says that faith comes by reading the Word of God. No. Faith comes by hearing. And you can't get anything from God without faith. You know how you got the Holy Ghost? By faith. If you've been healed, you got it by faith. So if faith comes by hearing the Word of God, how important is it for you to hear the Word of God on a regular basis? You see, every one of us is going to be affected by that at one time or another. The 2 o'clock in the morning when nobody else is around. I've said this over the years, you know, you make deposits, little deposits in the bank on a regular basis. They know you. All the people at Johnson's Bank know my wife and I by first name basis. And then there's a real need. All I have to do is go to the teller window and say, I want to make a withdrawal now because I've been making little deposits over the years. And they say, that's fine, Mr. Schumacher, just sign here and we'll give you all of what you have. And what God is saying is, every Wednesday you're making a deposit. And at 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, and you've got a need, God, I want to make a withdrawal right now. Can you help me, God? Yes, I can, because I've been seeing the deposits that you have made over the years.